Hello everyone, Larry DuBois here. Welcome back to our video teaching series on the discipline of the Lord. I've entitled it, or the Lord's discipline. And we are looking at part three in a three-part series. This is the third and final portion. I think I've covered most everything there is to talk about as the scriptures bring out what the Lord's discipline is. If you have something that I didn't bring up, if you happen to look at the video or listen to the audio, and by all means get a hold of me and let me know what you found searching the scriptures, or even one of your experiences. And that's what we're going to be looking at today, is my personal story and the discipline of the Lord. But before we do that, we're going to go ahead and review. Let's see here. Get this thing working. Part two, our last portion, the main highlights I wanted to talk about quickly. How the DOTL, discipline of the Lord, is enacted directly by the Lord intervening. We covered that, how he uses other actions, such as the use of angelic beings and fallen angels, demons, actually also uses people and the church. The church is set up for discipline by all means. And then we looked at the primary way that the Lord gets our attention is through a physical illness in the form of a discipline. Now, that's when he's dealing with us directly. Obviously, a church discipline, they're not going to be inflicting anything like that on you. they couldn't, but I mean. And then we showed examples in the scripture. We looked at a couple examples of King David, who was under the discipline of the Lord, a man after God's own heart, and yet through a few events in his life, he got the discipline of the Lord. Also, we looked at Jonah. And Jonah is probably my favorite example because it best reflects what I've gone through. And basically with Jonah, you had, and that's a good transition into this part today, my own story. But anyway, with Jonah, you have a calling on Jonah's life. He was a prophet. He was called to go preach to a city, the city of Nineveh, the Assyrians, a foreign land. And instead of answering the call, he actually ran from the Lord and went the opposite direction. And we somehow think we can run from the Lord or ignore the Lord, and he has a way of finding us. I think of the Garden of Eden even, you know. Adam, where are you? Well, he knew what happened. He knew where Adam was. He was trying to draw out of Adam, kind of comical in the way when Adam says, I hid, I was afraid, so I hid because I was naked. So he states those three things. I was afraid, I hid because I was naked, and then of course he reveals, he confesses without realizing it, and the Lord says, who told you you were naked? And so then he realizes, uh-oh, well, I ate of that tree. Of course, then he blames the woman, and perhaps indirectly blames the Lord. It was the woman whom you gave me. It was the only woman around was the one that the Lord gave him. So it could have been his way of trying to indict the Lord on his own blame game there. Well, anyway, Jonah ran from the Lord. And then, of course, as the story goes, it's a great book. It's a short read. You know, a lot in there, four chapters, the Old Testament, the prophet Jonah. And he tried to run from the Lord, and he got on a ship, and they basically threw him overboard, and he was swallowed by a whale, or it says by a great fish. And in the belly of the fish, and you know, he didn't just die. I would have thought just jumping overboard would be insane. That'd be enough to kill you. But the fish swallowed him, and he's now in the belly of the fish alive, and you know, amongst all the, you know, in the stomach there. And anyway, he has a real God moment there, realizes he went astray, was very humbled, cried out for the Lord to save him, basically cried out salvation is of the Lord. He said, I will pay what I have vowed. And his vow most likely was how he would serve the Lord and do anything the Lord wanted. And so at that point, the Lord had the fish vomit Jonah up on land. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. And the Lord gave Jonah a second chance. And we covered that. There's a verse in Romans there where it says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance or irrevocable. So the Lord, when Jonah ran, the Lord could have either, you know, killed him and said, that's it, buddy, you're out of here. Or he could have just let him go his own way and said, oh, I'll use somebody else. But he didn't do that. He was going to hold Jonah to his promise, to his calling. And interesting in that, Jonah came to this decision with enough pressure on us, we will generally cry out and say, okay, I'll obey. That's enough. I'll obey. Because whatever we were afraid of in obeying is lesser than the consequences for not obeying. I guess we figure that out. But we're always subject to what's happening at the time. We don't think of what's going to happen ahead. It's always what's going on now. What am I experiencing now? If I'm uncomfortable now, I might say a lot of things. I might make a lot of promises to the Lord. Maybe that's you today, my friends. Maybe you've made promises to the Lord that you can't even keep. Maybe you're running from the Lord yourself. You have a calling on your life and you're disobeying by not fulfilling that. You're running and the Lord is looking for you. Or maybe you're in the midst of discipline right now and you're looking for light at the end of the tunnel. And this is something, and I'm going to explain this as we go into this. A lot of times as we seek to look back and find out where we went wrong, where did we go off the course? And until we do a diligent study of that, a lot of times it's not what we think it is. And it is something we need to get a handle on so that we can be, you know, corrected. So let's go here. Let's see. So this is part three. Again, my personal experience. And we covered those four other aspects in the first two parts. And again, you can check those out. My personal experience or testimony, we're going to look at some scripture passages. Some are going to be a repeat there. The passage in Hebrews, it's basically a life verse. And if you're a Christian, you know what I mean by a life verse. It's basically something that is ascribed to you by maybe somebody else has, you know, spoken it to you and it fit, or you've come across the scriptures and it's just a verse that keeps coming up over and over. But this has become a life verse for me because it's such a big part of my life and it's so important. The part about being disciplined, knowing that you're the child of God, that's one thing. You know, I had a lot of questions when I've done some, you know, in my backsliding, not always obeying the Lord, people would question, are you even saved? And but I think the proof in the pudding is I've always come back, and I don't even take credit for that. The Lord has brought me back and proving that I am His, because the restoration is always righteous, living, holy conduct. So we're going to look at some pictures. I got a testimony with verses, believe it or not. Psalm 38 is a particular one that really matches my experience. And as it was written hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, the book of the Psalms. And how could the writer of that psalm know what I would be going through years later. It's very interesting. Aftermath of what I and what I've learned, and in a message to you. All right, so first up, one of my life verses, and that's Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. We brought it up in each of the parts. It's such a big portion of Scripture that speaks to the Lord's discipline. And, of course, the highlights, I'm not going to read the passage there. But you can read it on your own. It is so practical. This is a great Scripture that's very true and very practical. It talks about we shouldn't be discouraged about the process of discipline of the Lord, because it proves that we're His, and that's His love for us. And then he gives the example, an earthly example of, you know, who is, there's not a father on earth that doesn't discipline his own son, so how much more should the Lord, and how much more should we listen to the Lord if we've even listened to our earthly fathers? And if we are not, if we're without chastening, then we're not the Lord's. Now, maybe you, in your Christian life, you've always obeyed. You've never had big instances where you've gone off track or had been overcome with a besetting sin. And you may never have experienced the discipline of the Lord as it applies to doing bad behavior. And so that doesn't mean you're not a child of God. It just means that you're a very good kid and you just don't need disciplining. I mean, I think of, you know, someone with a big family, and kids are different. Some kids need a lot of correction. Some kids don't need so much. Some are angels and some really go off track. And some, quite frankly, never learn the lessons and never get it. But you might be a child of God that has been very good, and you have actually a better testimony. The chastening is, you know, primarily when we go off track. Now, then it goes on to say that the earthly fathers, of course, do the best they can, but God, who's perfect, how much more should we yield to Him, because He knows the best, right? Now, this is a real practical verse 11 there. It says, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So it talks about that. It talks about back in verse 10 there, it says, but He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. So if we're not living, practicing righteousness, we're not perfect as believers, but it talks about that in the book of 1 John. There's a distinction to those who live their life of practicing sin, that they've never been basically converted. They are a child of the devil. And then there are those who have, not perfect, but their lifestyle, it earmarks those of a believer in Christ that you're going to live righteously. You're not going to live, in a sinful lifestyle. Now, we also cover the scripture in Peter that talks about that we lived enough of our lifetime in the past, partying, and it mentions that. But now we are not to live that way. Well, we need help a lot of times, especially in our modern day. We have drugs as a plague on mankind, and these drugs bring about addiction, what we call addiction, bondage, and some very severe. And that's part of my story. Let's go ahead here. Some more scripture references that have come up in my life concerning the Lord's discipline. Psalm 118, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but He has not given me over to death. I was in the hospital one time suffering from blood clots, basically. They'd gone from my legs up into my lungs. This was from my heroin use. My blood clots You can get them from a number of conditions, but in my case, using black tar heroin and the stuff that they cut it with and everything else, and it's thick like molasses, it got in my veins there, blocked, caused the blood to clot, whatever. Anyway, so I was in the hospital, and I was almost near death. But I got this, I started reading my Bible, and I came to this psalm, and it really brought a lot of comfort. First of all, it says, I shall not die, but live. And I thought, praise the Lord, I really had faith to believe that that scripture applied to me, that this wasn't going to cause my death. And I was going to live, and why? To declare the works of the Lord. And then it says, he chastened me severely. It was a severe chastisement, but I wasn't given over to death. And that was the calling, the ordained prescription for me. Now, some other people may not be under that. They may be subject to death. But in my case, I was spared death for the purpose of proclaiming his gospel. Not because I'm anything, but God's purposes. Could he have used somebody else? Certainly. But like Jonah, I ran from the Lord, and I'll tell you a little bit more of that in a minute. Let's get this other verse here. Psalm 6, 1 through 3. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul is also greatly troubled. But you, Lord, how long? So the psalmist here, feeling the chastening of the Lord, is experiencing physical affliction in some way. He's weak. He wants to be healed. So if you need healing, you must have a disease. You must be sick or not feeling well. Bones are troubled. Could it be a lot of things? You pain in your bones for whatever reason. And in his soul, it affects your soul, greatly troubles your soul. But you, O Lord, how long? He's asking how long was he going to go through this? This scripture here describes my condition. And I'm going to read that, and then we're going to go through the pictorial part. But listen, I want to share something. How I feel I was under the Lord's discipline is, I was running from the calling of God like Jonah. Time would not allow me to share how many instances I could prove to you as an attorney would bring a case before a jury on how the calling of my life was very evident, that the Lord wanted me to serve him full time doing evangelistic ministry. And part of that would be stepping out in faith, living sort of by the seat of my pants, if you will. Just going by faith and trusting him to provide, and just going out and telling as many people as I could about Jesus, full time. And of course, not many people do that today. Most people that serve the Lord, they got they're paid staff or a pastor that gets paid, or, you know, it's more, it's very safe, so to speak. I mean, because you're just getting a salary. To step out in faith, I mean, I was so hindered based on other people, other Christians discouraging me. You know, that's not for today. What are you, crazy? I was called lazy. You know, go get a job. You cannot work and expect the Lord to give you money just for going around preaching. You know, all kinds of discouragements. And I listened to those instead of listening to the calling of the Lord. And I would think I was stepping out in faith, and it was short-lived, and I would just revert back to, and I'd just go get a job, and I would just start to live, you know, quote-unquote normal, and then try to serve the Lord on my own terms. And long story short, how I was disciplined, I believe, according to the scriptures, and you can look in the last episodes there, part one and two, as we covered this, the Lord gave me over to my own ways. In other words, he got to a point where, I don't know exactly where that point was, but he was like, he let go of me, and the restraints I had from fleshly indulgences, it was like I had this hedge that protected me, and all of a sudden that wasn't there. And I started falling into temptation. I started being tempted more, and I started to fall into temptations and being turned over to the enemies. And the enemies we have now in the New Testament aren't necessarily people. They are spiritual warfare, spirits of darkness, demonic beings. It can be our flesh, our sinful nature itself is our enemy, the world. And so those are our enemies. And as the Lord turned me over to that, what happened was I just went back and reverted back to what I knew before I was saved, and that was drugs. That was the gravitational pull by default. That's where I head. If I'm not walking with the Lord, if I'm walking according to my own ways, that's where I'm going to end up. And I, you know, it's like a dog to his vomit. I go back to that every time. And so at first, what I thought I had to repent of was the bad behavior, not realizing that, no, I had to actually step back and take a look at where did I really go astray. And where I went astray was by not stepping out in faith and fulfilling the calling of that evangelistic call. Now, to kind of fast forward, ever since I finally got that and did quite a number of years ago now, about 15 years ago, stepped out in faith and finally did what the Lord wanted me to do, and that is do evangelism basically full time. I did a traveling evangelistic ministry. Well, after I did that, I had no trouble with the flesh after that on that level. I never had trouble going back and forth to the heroin. And I had a pastor one time, I think I shared this earlier. I went to him for counsel. He wasn't my pastor, but the reason I went to him, he was an associate pastor of another church, a sister church, and that was because he had had that heroin addiction experience, and he'd gotten victory. And I went to him and said, well, he told me, he says, you know, you should ask the Lord, why do you keep going back? And, you know, I did ask him, and I didn't get the answer right away, but the answer did come. The reason was because I was not really fulfilling what he wanted me to do, like Jonah running away. And he gave me plenty of signs. I was dull of hearing. I don't know. It's really weird. I was in unbelief. And we think oh, poor me. I don't have enough faith. And it wasn't that at all. I needed to be scolded. Well, anyway, let's go here. I was turned over to my flesh, and I was disciplined severely. I got hooked on heroin, and it had its toll on me. But let's read here. O Lord, Psalm 38, starting at verse 1, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. For your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all day long. And that is out of the New King James Version. The King James Version says, my wounds stink. Well, I had these abscesses, and when you use black tar heroin, you get a lot of abscesses when you shoot up. Anyway, so when they're smaller and they're popped, or if they pop on their own, they stink. They're a foul, festering wound. And the ones I had here, they were so large I had to have operation. I was in the hospital like 3 months, and ultimately had to have skin grafts. And it was a real trial there because of my foolishness. The next verses 7 and 8. For my loins are full of inflammation, and there's no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. That's a picture of my leg, and the wound was as large as a football. And there was over a liter of pus in there when the doctor, that was his report, that's what he told me. And those other little holes are called Penrose drains, like a pinwheel. They circle that major wound there. The next verse, 9 through 11. This one wound was in my shoulder. I had this abscess at the same time under my armpit. And they had to debride all that muscle tissue. Lord, all my desires before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pants, my strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my relatives stand afar off. Well, I was an amazement to my friends and relatives that this even happened to me, as you can imagine. The rest of Psalm 38, those who seek my life lay snares for me. Those who seek my hurt speak of destruction. They plan deception all day long. But I, like a deaf man, do not hear. I, like a mute who does not open his mouth. Thus I am like a man who does not hear and in whose mouth there is no response. For in you, Lord, I hope. You will hear, O Lord, my God. For I said, hear me, lest they rejoice over me, lest when my foot slips they exalt themselves against me, for I am ready to fall. And my sorrow is continually before me, for I will declare my iniquity. I will be in anguish over my sin. But my enemies are vigorous and they are strong, and those who hate me wrongfully have multiplied. Those who render evil for good, they are my adversaries because I follow what is good. Do not forsake me, O Lord, my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Well, like Jonah, who was in the belly of the fish and came to the conclusion that salvation or deliverance is from the Lord, I also was in anguish over my sin. I declared my iniquity. Now, most people would think your sin was getting on heroin and all the things that are associated with that lifestyle. But like I said, I went deeper than that. And the anguish I was over my sin was I didn't follow the Lord. I disobeyed him and didn't follow the evangelistic calling he wanted me to do. And then I ended up in that situation. And of course, my enemies, they're too strong for me. The drug heroin and the temptations for that were too strong for me. It's an interesting verse that says, you know, I follow what is good. Well, I was a believer following what was good. I did go astray. It allowed the enemy to wreak havoc on my life for a period of time. When I came to the end of that time, like King Nebuchadnezzar, there was an appointed time for me to experience all of this. And then the Lord healed me and delivered me and got me back on track. And then I got the calling, like Jonah did, a second word from the Lord. And so that was a great thing. Now, when some of the things I've learned, of course, I made this. This here is an excerpt from a video I made back in 2001, 2003, I think it was done. This is part of that. It is a documentary video, and I'll put the link to that down there. It's called Don't Marry the Dragon, and it talks about my experiences with heroin addiction and other things. So what I've learned is things aren't always the way they seem. And again, if you're under the discipline of the Lord, I would encourage you to look back and ask the Lord, like the pastor challenged me to, ask, why do you keep doing these things? Where did I go astray? And I believe he will reveal that to you, my friends. And then what I've learned is to just follow the Lord from the start and just do what he wants. And then that way you won't be under his hand of discipline. And I learned the hard way, you know, but you don't have to learn the hard way if you obey initially going. Now, one of the things I learned was all the discouragement I had. Let's turn this off. All the discouragement I had when people would tell me, oh, that's not for today, you know, to serve the Lord full time, stepping out in faith, that's not for today. And I would be accused of being lazy or, you know, and I would be overwhelmed with caring more about what people thought than what the Lord thought. And at first, you almost feel like what the enemy would really do is he would really pick on a good quality, and you may have this too. You want to obey the Lord. You don't want to be lazy. You don't want to be a bad witness. You don't want to fail. You want to do what the church and the leadership thinks you should be doing. And I was told to just go get a job and, you know, honor the Lord by just living a good life, I guess, and serve the Lord where you can type thing. But I knew I had a calling on my life to do evangelistic ministry full time. And to step out in faith. And of course, I finally did that, and I've been successful at it for, the last 15, 20 years, or however long it's been now. And so I would encourage you today, my friends, and that's my message to you. First of all, if somehow, some way, you happen to stumble on this video and you're not a believer, and all this might seem new to you, what the discipline of the Lord is, or anything of the Lord, where you need to start, my friend, is you were not under his chastisement as a son or daughter because you're illegitimate. If you're outside of Christ, that is, if you do not know Jesus, then you are not a true child of God, and you won't be under his protection and under his love in that sort of fashion. And you have a destiny that you're under his wrath, and that you will experience for your sins in the end, if you die in your sins, judgment forever in a place called hell. And that is the bleak reality, the bleak outlook for those that are without Christ, that are without God. And so you need to know God. You need to understand his salvation plan for you, and I'll put a link down for that. I'll just give you a short version of it, is that Jesus Christ, who is he? He's God, God Almighty, who came down in the form of a man in order to live a perfect life that you and I could never possibly live. And then he offered his life as a sacrifice on the cross, dying in the sinner's place. He was crucified, he died, and he was buried, but on the third day he rose from the dead. He's alive, alive forevermore. We are called to repent and believe in the gospel. Believe in this good news about Jesus. Believe in him. He said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so he is the only way of salvation, the only way that we will experience a great life here. And he came to give life and life more abundantly, but more importantly than our life here is eternal life. And he who has a son has life. He who does not have a son does not have life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So my friends today, if you're outside of Christ, if you're an unbeliever, that would be the message to you, is to turn and trust in Christ and become what we would say saved from our sin. Now, if you're a believer, most likely those are the people that are going to watch a video like this. And the hope is that you would not experience the chastisement of the Lord, that you'd be a good son or daughter and always obey from the heart and never have to have that harsh discipline like I did. But if you've experienced that, then hang in there. There is hope. If you're in the middle of God's discipline, if you don't know why or how you went astray or why you're being disciplined, seek the Lord and ask Him, and that will help you get on the other side of it. Now, currently, I'm suffering from a condition in my hip. I had a hip replacement, and I asked the Lord, I don't know, you know, is this something I'm doing? Is it correction? Do I need to be corrected? Is there some bad behavior I've done or some way of disobedience that, you know, got me like this? Or is it just a thing that happens to all men? We covered that in this video too. The fate of all people. You know, we live under a cursed world, and people get sick, people get old. I'm 65 now almost. People get old, and then they get decrepit, they get diseases, and then you eventually die of something. So it could be nothing more than that. But I ask myself the frustration. I haven't got a surgery yet to fix this, and I think, well, would I be out there preaching, you know, or anything like that if I hadn't had this? And there's all these questions that are running through my mind. So I'm still learning myself. I've learned some great lessons. Of how to not to do things and how to do things in the Lord. But at the same time, I'm still learning. So without more just me rambling on, excuse me, that's going to cover it for this part three. I've experienced the harsh discipline of the Lord. And through it all, my message to you again is I'm very thankful for it. And that's why it's become a life verse for me there in Hebrews, because it is not joyful for the present. It wasn't joyful when I was going through the addiction, when I was taking the heroin, feeling what and that wasn't even enjoyable, really. At first it is, but it's short-lived. And then all the consequences I experienced because of that, it was, you know, terrible. It wasn't pleasant by all means. But it was effective, and it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And so when I went through that and realized where I went astray, and then it's like, I get it. And of course, all the fears I had of stepping out in faith, a fear of failure, fear of this or that, excuses, whatever they might be, they pale in comparison to the consequences you would bring upon yourself for disobeying the Lord. So that's it, my friends. God bless you. Thank you for watching. Hope you can catch the other ones and any future ones we do. But may the Lord be with you.